Get It: Street Smart Negotiation at Work. Author: Lacey T. Smith. Street Smart Negotiation at Work is a guide to the art of dealing, leveraging the powers of emotion, recognizing them, and adding them into one's strategy. Additionally, there are the importance of being completely honest with oneself, proper preparations before one approaches the negotiation table, and how to cultivate three skills to improve one's chances: empathy, rapport, and the ability to build upon differences between parties. The role of emotions and whether you get it. Most of the time, your emotions, your hopes and fears, not your reason, determine what you say, what you do, and what you get from all your interactions with other people. In the workplace, as in your personal life, the contours of persuasions and negotiations are shaped, not so much by numbers and analysis, elegant proofs, and rigorous demonstrations. Instead, they are shaped for the most part by emotions, the hopes and fears of those involved. Body language. Body language can be a rough estimate of what is going on with the people on the other side of the table. If they have dozed off during your most persuasive arguments, you're probably not getting through to them. But too much weight can be given to nonverbal clues. If the person on the other side is folding their arms, they may not be close to your arguments. Or their chair might be without arms, and this is a convenient way to rest. Be reluctant to draw a conclusion about the other side's hopes and fears merely from a raised eyebrow or sidelong glance. When you test your hypothesis, formed by the statements made and answers given to the questions you ask, you'll begin to get a good idea of what is behind what is being said. Discover emotions that betray you. Fear. You're in a much better position to get what you desire from the interaction when fear is not the dominant emotion motivating you in a negotiation. When you're unafraid, you are more open to the ideas of the other side. Confidence. Fear and confidence have an inverse relationship. More fear, less confidence. Less fear, more confidence. Whatever the reason for underconfidence, overconfidence may cause more trouble in negotiations. Overconfidence comes from many sources, sometimes simultaneously, and this makes it hard to deal with. It can come, for example, from too much reliance on expert opinion. How you should prepare to get it. The what, who, where, and when of persuasion. To begin your preparation, ask yourself, what do both parties want? What do you want? If you are uncertain about what you want, you'll have a hard time getting it. Test yourself. Can you express what you want in 30 seconds? No? Then what you want is not clear to you. Next, examine what they want. How do they express this? In words? Body language? By what they do? By what they have done in the past? The power of commitment. Convincing the other side that you are committed to a course of action and getting the other side firmly committed to a course of action are the most potent strategies you can employ in answering the why and how of your persuasions and negotiations. Convincing is tricky. Most of the time, your commitments and those of the folks across from you are expressed in words, and words may be discounted, and they have an evanescent quality. Rapport. The more rapport you have with the other side, the easier it is to convince them that your best offer really is your best offer. How emotion-packed skills get it. Empathy makes rapport possible. Rapport can begin and or sustain a relationship. Together, empathy and rapport form the two-sided coin of a human connection. Empathy is to recognize what others feel. It is the exercised ability to infer accurately what someone is thinking and feeling over a particular time frame and act on that inference. Pocket the currency of rapport, the tail side of the human connection coin. If you practice empathic accuracy, you learn about the thoughts and feelings of those with whom you're dealing. Armed with this information, you'll craft your requests from these good people and get them to comply with your wishes. They'll do this because you'll have a roadmap to rapport. Rapport, continuous rapport, is important in persuasion. It is the tail side of human connection coin. Bake a bigger pie to get a bigger piece, building on the differences among the parties. It is true that when you consider dividing up a pie, if you can make it bigger, you have a chance to get a bigger piece for yourself. But to be useful as you persuade others, we have to import some specific meaning into it. First, no pie, then a big pie. Before thinking about what making a bigger pie means, you should first consider not having any pie at all. Consider what will happen, that is, what you will do if you don't persuade those whom you would influence. If you can't make a deal, what is your no-deal alternative? You have to think about no-deal before you can think productively about making a better deal. No pie and your BATNA. BATNA. If you can't make a deal, will you get up from the bargaining table, go to the door, and look out into a kind of existential abyss, and unable to return, make a leap of faith into the blackness? Or do you have a place to go? Have you identified your best alternative to a negotiated agreement, your BATNA? What is the best you can do if you must walk out of the door? In addition to giving you a benchmark against which to measure your progress in persuasion, identifying your BATNA also gives you the confidence that you don't have to make a deal in your current negotiation. The Mythical Construct Lesson. The pie to be cut up is fixed in its size. Our experience with the pies we eat tells us they have a finite size. And no matter how many pieces you divide them into, one eater can eat more pieces only at the expense of another eater. The metaphor, however, does not extend to the pie of benefits that constitute what we bargain over. In almost every situation, there are ways to make these pies bigger. A seller wishes to sell their house in tough economic times. A buyer wants to buy the house, but his credit isn't sufficient to support a loan. Does the deal collapse? Not necessarily. Perhaps the buyer and seller can enter an agreement, in which the seller will get his price and the buyer can make payments towards that price while living there. They bypass the traditional ways of making a sale and at the same time satisfy each other's interests, a bigger pie. The most memorable lessons from the street. The contour of almost every persuasion is shaped by emotions, hopes, and fears. It's not about logic and rationality. Your task is to understand your emotions, and those on the other side, because these emotions define our interests as we perceive them. Your goals, in every attempt to persuade, as you try to get it, are to advance your full set of interests and to satisfy the other side in a way that is at least acceptable to them. This means dealing directly with the emotions of everyone involved.